this meeting. Also, honorable members of the committee, select committee, for being so wonderful members, taking the work of the committee for the past 1 month, 1 week, which was, I was not part of them, due to illness. So the job of the NCOP work has been done so well. I'd like to thank them, especially the co-chair, the acting chair, Honorable Mazibuko and Tate Tolu. Also to welcome the DDG from Social Development Mentapo with the entourage, and also FASA, the CEO, Mr. Matuani, and the entourage. According to our program, our first meeting will be social development, briefing by the Department of Social Development on their strategic plan and budget vote. We're supposed to start at 10 to 11:30, but we'll make up that time lost. And thereafter, the pastor will brief us on the South African Security Agency on the strategic plan and budget vote 2007 and 2008. So we're supposed to start at 11:30 to 13 hours, but we'll check the program and the progress. We can even continue with FASA after lunch. After their presentation, question and charities will be after 2, so that we also give the social development enough time. And also, I want to make aware to members that according to the program of the NCOP, we'll be debating the social development budget on the 21st of May. So that will be a debate in the plenary, as to give them more time to outline many issues. But also, I'd like Ariko to read the apologies, because we receive only 3 apologies, and we are only 4 members here. I don't know, maybe some of them are still on the way, that delayed. After being announced, we are going to introduce ourselves, followed by the social development, the leader of the delegation, GDG, Ntapo, will lead, followed by the CEO of FASA, Ntate Makiwani, to introduce himself and his story. Ariko, give us the apologies. And you are appointed, you are noted, Mrs. Lamola, after our request, announce the apologies. I don't know, you want to say before our call, read the name of the apologies? Okay.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, all members. Apologies received from Mr. Tolo, who is attending an arts and culture summit in Gauteng. Apologies from Ms. Mazibuko and Mr. Suleiman, who returned early this morning from Indonesia.
Thank you very much. Do you accept the apology, Honorable Member? Apology accepted. Thank you. Honorable Lamola?
Chair, I think the session is on its honorable session is on its way now. It will be coming. And then, I'm here saying that you'll be discussing after 2. If I'm right, I've got notices for mandates after 2. Children's children and health professionals will find a mandate. I've got notices from my desk for that too. No.
Mr. Tijin, late arrival, and also Mr. Setuna. Oh, he's already here. He has indicated that he'll join us from another meeting. Welcome, I thought we got information about the final mandate, but I'll give it to Ariko to explain that SMS was sent to all the members about the postponement of the mandate. Can you?
Yes, sir. So to confirm, yes, the SMS was sent yesterday, ma'am, about the cancellation, postponement of the meeting on the final mandate. The date has been postponed till the 22nd of May, ma'am, for the final mandate on the Children's Bill and the Health Protection Amendment. 22nd of May.
Thank you very much. As we are all aware, we've been on recess, and the provinces have requested more time for public hearings on those bills. Now, as we get the mandates from the provinces, we couldn't just say on the 8th we want the final mandates according to our program. So we have to postpone that, Mrs. Lamola. Thank you, get your information. Yeah. And last week it was a summit for the SOP, so we couldn't make it. We apologize for the inconvenience caused. Thank you very much. We are all having the hard copies, but I think we're going to be led by the vice of the I'm Grace Masilo, the chair from the Select Committee on Social Services. I request members to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Nehi Masala, NCOP delegate from Gauteng. I'm Jasmine Kukan, member of the committee from the Eastern Cape.
I'm Mara, member of the committee, Western Cape. This is Stola, free speech.
Ari Kukota, committee secretary of the Committee on Social Services.
Thank you, Scott. Also, Sister Secretary of the Committees from Education and Social Development. May you introduce yourself?
Today, I'm Sir Russell, and serving on the Education of Recreation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chapo, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair members, and good morning. My name is Vuya Nantlapo, and I'm the Deputy Director General of Integrated Development from the National Department of Social Development. And with me, my colleagues on my right-hand side is Ms. Rapakle Ramakopa, the Chief Director for Monitoring and Evaluation. And on my left-hand side is Ms. Dorothy Sneyman, who is the Acting Chief Financial Officer. And on her left-hand side is Ms. Dimagato Motroase, the Director for Disability and Old Age Grants. And on her left-hand side is Ms. Patricia Maluka, the Program Manager for Social Security Institution. And we have, across the room, we have Mr. Sean Whiting, who is in the Deputy Minister's office.
Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to...
And we've just been joined by the colleague, Pat Naika, from Social Security.
Very
yes. So that's the delegation, Honorable Chair, from the National Department of Social Development.
Thank you very much. Because Pat and for Pat, we get petition. Now it's the Pat and for this. Thank you very much. Over to you, the CEO of SASA.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The CEO of the Social Security Agency. On my extreme right is Mr. Roland Poyas. He's the Chief Finance Officer. On his left is Mr. Dr. Valdita Blanche. He's the head of the Social Security Agency in the Western Cape. On his left is Mr. Karima Bendela. He's working in my office on regional integration. On my left is Ms. Tandi Sibanyoni, the Auditor Executive in the agency. and on her left is Mr. Louvio Kayser, the Chief Information Officer in the agency. That's a delegation.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to see you being part of us, to tell us that you are coming to the national office, not to the province.
Yes.
Hence, you are part of the national delegation, because the provinces are saying it still belongs to them. Any other introduction? Our observers, we want to know who are here, so that... Okay, first.
Can you press here for recording?
I'm Chance Yagunda from Catholic Bishop Conference Parliamentary Office. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lucy Jameson from the Children's Institute.
Thank you for the Albert Finn, National Social Development.
Thank you very much.
I'm Professor September from University of Western Cape.
Thank you, Professor. We also have a former Secretary of the Social Development from NA, former now promoted to be a controller of the committee, Nzo Fagula. You are welcome. You are now good boss. Congratulations. Let me take this opportunity to hand over to DDG Nkapo to take us through the presentation. Thank you, ma'am. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. And also thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you the Department of Social Development Strategic Plan for 2007 to 2010. The presentation will follow this format. First of all, we'll look at part one, which looks at the overview and strategic perspective. Part B will deal with the medium-term expenditure framework for social development sector priorities. Part C will deal with strategic output for 2007 and challenges that we experience. And lastly, we'll deal with the budget alignment.
Firstly, let me apologize to the members of the committee because we all received a document this morning. We were on research last week, there was this summit, and I don't think they will do justice to it, to interrogate the report. So they have to bear with us because we only received them now. So I think you give us off so that you can understand more. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. We'll try our best to get it on. looking at the context, as social development, we face a number of challenges, and these challenges relate to poverty, unemployment, inequality, and most importantly, the absence of essential services, and they are concomitant social ills are common denominators that cut across most of these challenges. And as a department, we are expected to respond to these challenges that are faced by the sector. The complexity of the challenges is exacerbated by the fact that given these challenges, we are expected to have a number of skilled social development workers that have to respond to this. However, the biggest challenge is that developmental social services is labor-intensive and depends largely on skilled social workers and community development practitioners, which most of the time, as I will deal with that part, when I deal with the challenges, it's always a challenge in terms of getting enough social development workers, particularly the social workers. In addressing these challenges, the department identified three client categories, and these categories are the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized groups. Central priority of the department, therefore, is the development of policies, legislation, and systems to ensure provision of a range of social services to meet the socioeconomic needs of the poorest, the marginalized and the most vulnerable, which are our core clients, within the constraints of available resources. And we emphasize the aspect of within the constraints of available resources, because if you look at the challenges that we face as a sector, sometimes it becomes difficult to really respond fully in terms of those challenges, given the constraints on the available resources. Therefore, we have to prioritize as we continue to respond to the challenges of the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. The department has turned its strategies and services on two platforms. First, we provide services that deal with assisting society to deal with what they are currently experiencing as a result of poverty and social dislocation. And also, we develop strategies to deal with the factors that give rise to and sustain poverty, inequality, and social discord. Our vision, we have a vision of a caring and integrated system of social development services that facilitate human development and improve the quality of life, and the emphasis in terms of that vision is an integrated system, because we believe that we cannot be able to respond to the challenges of our clients, the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized if we do not provide that in an integrated system, because otherwise it doesn't achieve the desired impact as it would if it's provided in an integrated system. But also, most importantly, is also the whole issue of improving the quality of life. Our mission is to ensure the provision of comprehensive, integrated, sustainable, and quality social development services against vulnerability and poverty, and create an enabling environment for sustainable development in partnership with those committed to building a caring society. And once more, even in terms of the mission, also the emphasis is on a comprehensive nature in terms of providing services, but also the integrated approach in providing or in delivering services to achieve the quality of life for our clients. What are our strategic priorities? In terms of our strategic priorities, we have the first priority as creating an enabling environment for social and human capital investment. Secondly, the promotion of social integration. Thirdly, social protection initiatives to build the capacity of vulnerable groups. Fourthly, provide a comprehensive social security system. And the fifth one is leadership in social development to ensure the deepening of the social policy discourse and evidence-based decision-making. And Honorable Chair, I'm proud to indicate that currently at the department, we have specifically a Deputy Director General that is responsible for social policy. And this is achievement from our side, because in the social sector, so far we are the only department that has got the unit that is specifically looking at social policy. The sixth priority is effective and efficient management of social development programs and activities in partnership with civil society and other social partners. And the seventh one is steering national involvement in African and international frameworks and agreements with respect to socioeconomic development. And also, I just need to emphasize that some of the work that we do, particularly in addressing the rights of vulnerable groups, is informed by international, regional, as well as national obligations that we. And therefore, it is important for us to participate in this African as well as international framework, because they inform the work that we do. And lastly, the priority is good governance. What are the functional areas of the program? Program has program one, which deals with administration. And the objective of this program is to provide for policy and strategic direction by the ministry and self-management, and for overall management and support services to the department. We have program two, which is comprehensive social security, and the objective of this is to ensure the development of norms and standards, facilitate financial and economic planning, and monitor compliance with social assistance policy prescripts for the provision of a comprehensive system of social security, but also facilitate the payment of social assistance to households. We have program three, which is policy development review and implementation support for welfare. And the objective for this program is to create an enabling environment for the delivery and accessibility of integrated social welfare services in partnership with all relevant stakeholders. Program 4, Community Development, its objective is to develop and facilitate the implementation of appropriate policies, strategies, and programs aimed at strengthening the potential of communities, including youth, to sustain and improve their livelihoods and further human development. And we have also, lastly, Program 5, which is Strategy and Governance, and is aimed at fostering operational efficiency through improved alignment between mandates, strategies, and institutional capacities, and also provide strategic guidance on social policy development, coordination, and evaluation. So those are the 5 programs that we have. Looking now at the medium-term expenditure framework of social development, particularly looking at sector priorities, we have the following priorities for the medium-term expenditure framework, that is for 2007-8 to 2009-10. With regards to social welfare services, our priority is the consolidation of services to children. And in terms of this, we are looking at various the pieces of legislation that is Children's Act of 2005, and currently the process that is underway with regards to the Children's Bill in terms of Section 76 that the committee also is involved in, and also the Child Justice Bill. Just to indicate that I'm sure you will recall, honorable members, that the Child Justice Bill has been a bill for quite a long time. And yesterday there was specifically a meeting that was held by the Deputy President where she wanted to find out what are the challenges that are really preventing this bill to be an act and to become an act, because it has been a bill for a long time. And we hope then that processes in terms of moving forward with this bill in terms of enacting it will begin to move quickly. The second priority is the consolidation of services to older persons, particularly the implementation of the Older Persons Act of 2006. And thirdly, the priorities around consolidating services deriving from cross-cutting legislation. And here is some of these pieces of legislation: the Domestic Violence Act of 1998, Social Assistance Act of 2004, Prevention and Treatment of Substance Abuse Act, and also just to indicate that we are currently in the process of reviewing the Prevention and Treatment of Substance Abuse, and I'm sure the members are aware of the processes that are underway. The Probation Services Act of 1991. With regards to strategic outputs per program, I'm checking those outputs. We have under comprehensive social security, starting with comprehensive social security. Coming to now, unpacking the strategic priorities. I just want to check if I'm not keeping any slides with the contact version. It's jumping slides, yes. Do you have the hard copies, members? Yes, because it's jumping slides in the project. So maybe let me use the hard copies.
I don't
Okay, let me continue with using the hard copy. Page 7. Okay, I'm in page 7. Are we together? Okay, so let me go back to the, we're looking at the MTF priorities for 2007 and 8 to 9 and 10. And I've indicated, first of all, the consolidation of services to children, consolidation of services to older persons, and consolidation of services derived from cross-cutting legislation. We can see that. Are we together? Okay, then continuing with the, with regards to the priorities on social welfare services, the priority is increasing the number of social services professionals to facilitate fulfillment of social welfare service delivery obligations. This is one of the challenges that we have, as I indicated earlier on, that the services that we need to provide, if we have to respond to the challenges that are there in terms of our three client groups, it means we have to have enough professionals to deliver services. And therefore, one of the priorities in the MTF is increasing the number of social services. And particularly in the MTF, we have prioritized the following categories in terms of those social service professionals, the social workers, and the social auxiliary workers. So those are the priorities in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework. With regards to the strategic output per program, starting with comprehensive social security, the objective of the comprehensive social security I indicated earlier on is to enable the human well-being of all through measures that address income poverty, and this is provided through adequate income throughout a person's life cycle, including equity and efficiency of benefits. We have social assistance, which the objective is to facilitate progressive realization of all social security rights through the following: the development of tools to facilitate uniformity in assessing disabilities, revise policy on comprehensive social security for children, develop policies and strategies on income support for families, and create social protection measures for youth. So those are the outputs that we intend to achieve under social assistance. But also under social assistance, we will be re-engineering the social relief fund. We have to present policy proposal for consolidation of social relief funds into a single institutional arrangement, and also reduce the turnaround time to process applications to 2 months. With regards to social insurance, the draft legislation to effect the reform of retirement provisions, and also social budget, we undertake a comprehensive social budget exercise covering public and private investments in social services. So those are the things that we intend to achieve during the medium-term expenditure framework, particularly on comprehensive social security. On social welfare services, the objective of this program is to develop, facilitate, and monitor the implementation of policies, strategies, and programs on integrated social welfare services that meet the needs of all vulnerable groups. And with regard to transformation of welfare service delivery, the first output is to develop policies and strategies focusing on social welfare services to vulnerable children, including children with special needs and orphans. Also, policies and strategies focusing on victims of crime and domestic violence, and programs to promote functional families. But also, our aim is to review and implement the relevant legislation and policies. And under this area, we'll develop legislation on social services, table substance abuse legislation in Parliament, facilitate implementation of Older Persons Act of 2006, complete regulations for the implementation of the Child Care Act of 2005, and develop costing models for the finalization of policy on disability. Another important area is the development of norms and standards and here we will focus on developing norms and standards for social service provision, norms and standards for outpatient and community-based services for treatment of substance abuse, and also develop minimum standards for services to people with disabilities, and also develop integrated guidelines for rehabilitation of persons with disabilities. The important output also is the development of capacity for delivery of social services. As you will recall, this is one area that you have always emphasized, that we really need to build capacity so that we can ensure that we deliver quality services, and therefore we'll be concentrating on developing capacity for social services by implementing the recruitment and retention strategy for social workers, coordinating training of service providers on the integrated service delivery model, coordinating training of service providers in the field of substance abuse, conduct capacity building programs for service providers within the disability sector. We'll conduct capacity building programs for probation and assistant probation officers, and also train home community-based care project managers on management principles. And lastly, capacitate the residential care service providers on management of HIV and AIDS. So we have arranged a number of capacity building programs that we'll undertake during the medium term. Then the next output would be around implementation support for welfare services, and in this we would create a linkage of district social services offices with the National Child Protection Register. We'll improve foster care and residential care services, establish a database for adoptable children and prospective adoptive parents, and develop an implementation plan on the South African Victims' Charter of Rights, and develop HIV and AIDS management program for children and youth in residential care. So those are the outputs that we will deliver during the medium term with regards to social welfare services. And on community development, starting with the objective of the program, it is to develop, monitor, and facilitate the implementation of appropriate policies, strategies, and programs aimed at sustainable livelihoods and human development. So during the medium term, we will develop an anti-poverty strategy in collaboration with the social sector, also develop community development policy, and improve conditions of service for community development practitioners through implementing the recommended salary level for community development practitioners, developing norms and standards for community development practitioners, and standardized education and training for community development workers. I need to emphasize that this area, as you can see, is an area that is beginning to emerge within the department, because we have always emphasized on the issue of social workers and social auxiliary workers. And as such, we have not just a limited number, but also the way in which we operate in various provinces is not the same in terms of the work that is done by community development workers. Hence, there is emphasis and the whole direction in terms of ensuring that there is uniformity in terms of the norms and standards, and also the implementation of the salary levels for community development practitioners. Also, within community development, we intend to improve governance and institutional capacity of non-profit organizations through improved regulatory framework, but also reviewing the NPO Act and also costing it. But also, we're looking at the registration and compliance of registered organizations. We have a challenge, as you know, that there is the long turnaround time in terms of registering the NPOs, and therefore one of our priorities would be reducing the turnaround time for registration of NPOs to 2 months, but also improve the compliance in terms of the NPO Act, which is a biggest challenge currently, but also look at deregistering non-complying organizations. And this is quite the biggest challenge for the department, because currently we have around about over 20,000 registered NPOs. So you can imagine, therefore, if the expectation is to monitor those NPOs in terms of compliance with the Act. Within NPO also, we need to enhance institutional capacity of the sector by conducting training, institutionalizing platform for dialogue between government and NPO sector, and also create an environment to access information on registered organizations. Currently, it's only the department can access that information on registered organizations, and we intend to expand that so that all interested parties can be able to see what are those registered organizations, so that they can be able to monitor the growth and also the deregistration of non-complying NPOs. Within community development, also continue to develop frameworks to link the Department of Social Development Programs with sustainable livelihoods approach. You recall, Honorable Chair, that we reported last year that we had initiated this process with the pilot from the Eastern Cape. So we'll continue to develop conceptual statement on sustainable livelihoods approach and develop a strategy to link grants to livelihoods and cooperative learning from the lessons that we have learned from the pilot project. But also will promote and support youth development and diversification of the National Youth Program through costing the integrated youth development plan, escalating the implementation of the National Youth Service Program, developing, actually we have already developed that, implementing the integrated youth development strategy and professionalizing youth work. So those are the outputs for community development program. On special programs, we have the expanded public works program, and we've decided to put this as a separate output. With regard to expanded public works program within the social aspect, I'm sure we're aware that we have two programs that fall within the expanded public works program, and those are the early childhood development as well as the home community-based care. We have, as a department, we have the responsibility with regard to expanded public works program to coordinate the work of the sector within the social sector. And in this, we manage and coordinate social sector expanded public works program. We develop mainstreaming framework and guidelines for integrating expanded public works program in the social sector. And we develop strategy for the massification and sustainability of expanded public works program as well. Also, we have, other than just coordinating the expanded public works program, we have a responsibility, as I indicated earlier on, in terms of implementing expanded public works program within the two programs of early childhood development as well as home community-based care. And in this, we'll develop and implement training module for home community-based care accredited by the CCAD, train caregivers and offer stipends, and particularly here, we, as we move forward within the medium-term expenditure framework, we need to ensure that we provide uniformity in the provision of stipends, because currently there are challenges around the stipends that are provided by social development in relation to the stipends that are provided by health. So we need to ensure that at least we move towards and close that gap. Also, importantly, is fast-tracking registration of new ECT sites in line with expanded public works business plan. And again, this is one of the challenges that we have. I think currently we have, particularly if you look at the rural areas, there are rural areas that do not have early childhood development centers at all. And therefore, the strategy going forward is to ensure that we register these sites so that we can be able to ensure that those children do access early childhood development learning. Also importantly, within expanded public works, is to develop the monitoring and evaluation system for ECD and home community-based care. And I think this is an important area, because currently it becomes very difficult to even see where are the areas where we have ECD, what, how far are we accessing those areas where there are no ECD centers? So the monitoring and evaluation would assist us in really monitoring the work that we do under those areas. With regards to the program on strategy and governance, the objective of the program is to ensure good governance, operational and enhanced service delivery efficiency, capacity within the department and the sector. In terms of the outputs, improved governance and oversight of public entities, here we'll ensure transfer of funds in line with mandate and delivery goals. We'll develop regulatory framework for the management of interface. And also, we intend to establish and review key institutions that report to the minister. The second output, which is strategy development, business and program performance. Here, what we'll do is to align the Department of Social Development strategic plan with public service priorities, planning cycle and treasury regulations, standardized annual performance plan and long-term strategy framework. On monitoring and evaluation, we'll develop an integrated monitoring and evaluation framework, implement the institutional performance measurement framework, provide detailed plans for development of integrated systems for social welfare and community development services. Also, another important area is social policy development and coordination, and under this area, we'll look at policy coordination, integration, and analysis framework. So that we can be able to see to what extent are we integrating policy coordination, but also develop collaboration framework with academia on policy formulation, coordination, and analysis. Then the next area is the promotion and implementation of population policy, and under this area we enhance awareness and understanding of population and development trends and dynamics. Having outlined what we intend to achieve in the medium-term expenditure framework, we have challenges that we face as a department. And these challenges, first of all, we have constructive debates that are taking place around the values attached to social security. And these debates are, for example, on the one hand, they fear that we will develop a citizen with a dependency culture. On the other hand, there is no doubt about government's commitment to the plight of the poor and the objective of building a better life for all. And I'm sure the honorable members are aware of this debate, where it's always debated whether we should continue to provide social security. Are we not creating dependency if we provide people with social security? Shouldn't we be beginning to, you know, there are various terms that are used, whether it's off-ramping or whether those debates. But as social development, we believe that, these debates are constructive, and therefore we will continue as the department to invest in research, which will continue to inform us of the benefits and unintended consequences of our program. Also, the challenge is redressing the historical underfunding of developmental social services, which still remains the greatest challenge. Although, as you see, when I move forward in terms of the figures, there has been great improvement in terms of the funds that have been allocated to us. The achievement of the above-mentioned priorities will depend on adequate funding being received, and I'm sure as we move, despite the fact that, as I say, that we have received additional funding for social welfare services, but it's still a challenge because if you look at the amount of challenges that are out there that are experienced by the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized, funding can never be enough. The new allocation is a positive step, as I've indicated, in addressing this legacy. But also the challenges are around the non-compliance with the NPO Act. The department is in the process of appointing additional staff members to enhance its capacity to administer and monitor approximately 40,000 NPOs currently registered. Also, there is the challenge of the slow process of filling of posts
and in order to achieve a reasonable vacancy rate, the current vacancy rate will be reduced by 10% each progressive year.
Is it everybody understand what is the NPO?
Non-profit organization. We have reviewed our recruitment and selection policy with the intention of shortening the turnaround time of recruitment in the department. So we hope that this will assist us in facilitating the employment of staff in filling those vacant positions. Also, as a challenge is financial administration of the social assistance function, which is due to dual responsibilities between SASA and the department, which impacts on accountability. We're working with National Treasury and SASA to come up with measures to manage the risk. Also, the challenge is the lack of effective management information systems for social welfare and community development programs, which limit our capacity to monitor and evaluate the implementation of those programs. But also the integrity of the non-financial data provided by provinces is questionable. There are challenges around that. Moving on, Honorable Chair, to the medium-term expenditure framework financial years analysis. With regard to the growth trend, the total additional allocation over MTF is 683 million rand, and the total budget grows at an average rate of 8.3% per annum. Social development budget, excluding transfers to SASA and NDA, grows at average rate of 27.5% per annum. And if we unpack that, we have Program 1, 7.3%, Program 2, 8.9%, Program 3, which is welfare services, 56.3%. As you can see, that there is quite a tremendous growth there in terms of Program 3, which is an area that has always had challenges in terms of limited funding. Then we have Program 4, which is community development, which the growth is 6.8%, and Program 5, 30.1%. Additional allocations are mainly for social development policy implementation support, and this is 45 million during the first year, 48 million second year, and 69 million in the third year. And also additional allocation was for oversight and support of key institutions, including SASA. 10 million in the first year, 10 million in the second year, and 11 million in the third year. And the last one was on implementation of NIF for SASA, Management Information System. 70 million the first year, 20 million second year, and 20 million in the third year. Additional allocations also were for Integrated Management Information System for Welfare Services. 25 million for the first year, and nothing for the second and third. I think there's something wrong with that. There's nothing for the second and third year. They also for social worker scholarships. You remember I said when I was dealing with the priorities that we have prioritized social workers as well as social auxiliary workers. So we have allocation for social worker scholarships. 50 million first year, 105 million second year, and 210 million for the third year. If we look at the budget comparison for years 2006 and 7 up to 9 and 10, we can see that the budget for 6-7 financial year was 62 billion. And it went up to 67 billion, 7 and 8, 9, 73 billion, and 9, 10, it goes to 79 billion.
if you look at the EMS funds for 2006-07 up to 9-10, we have the devolution of public works fund, which is, you can see there, it's 8678. Social assistance transfers, you can see that is the biggest amount in terms of the budget, which is 57. Administration of social assistance, 3. I'm not going to read all those, but there the purpose is just unpacking in terms of the budget from 6-7 to 9-10. If you look at the pie chart there, in terms of the budget, you can see that program 1 covers 37%. Program 2, the blue slice of the pie there, is 10%. Program 3, which is the welfare services, that's the biggest slice there, is 39%. Program 4, which is community development, the light green, is 7%. And Program 5, strategy and governance, is 17%. So you can see in terms of budget allocation that indeed Program 3, there has been improvement in terms of that. As indicated earlier on, that covers the bigger percentage. With regards to 2007 estimates of national expenditure, I don't know whether I should really read out there. I don't think it's just to give an indication in terms of the 2007. Those the figures are there, honorable members, I'm sure you can read them there.
On that, just know those points we'll come back to. Just know that page. So during question time, you'll come up with it. May you continue?
Okay. If you look at the preliminary outcome of the spending of the National Department for 6 and 7, and we are saying that it's preliminary because I understand it has to be audited first for us not to say it's preliminary. So, for 6 and 7, we had the final voted budget of 62.
Are we on page 23?
We had the final voted budget of 62.382 billion. And the expenditure is 61.9, which is 99.35%. So that's an indication in terms of 6 and 7. Our expenditure is 99.35. Honourable members. If you look at if we break that 99.35 expenditure and we break it in terms of the program, we can see that administration 98.5, program 2 comprehensive social protection 94.56, social security transfers and administration 99.3, social welfare services 93.3, development and research 97.57, and program 6 strategy, regulation and oversight 57.05. And that's an area where there was a bit of little spending in terms of the budget. So this is the breakdown of the expenditure. In terms of social assistance transfers, we voted 57.7 billion and we transferred 57.5. And so we transferred 99.8. Preliminary outcome of the social assistance transfer expenditure for 6-7, once more again we can break that down in terms of various provinces, those are the figures there, and the average I think is around 90-99%. if you look at the figures of social assistance expenditure for 2010-2017 financial year, adjustments have been made to the initial budget allocation to the provincial departments of social development based on the actual cash flow requirements. A preliminary net saving to an estimated amount of 382.4 million is projected up to the end of the financial year 2007. If you look at the agenda that provides, honorable members, the breakdown in terms of provincial departments of social development, again, there you can see the adjusted. I don't know that you want me to go into detail, but I think it's clear. You can go to that. I don't have to really read each and every figure there. So that brings us to the end of the presentation, honorable chair. This provides
presentation has gone, it's ordinary law. Okay. But no, whatever 10. The meeting was scheduled to start at 10. For me, no, it doesn't change the price of the bread. It's what time it started. Scheduled to start at 10. Now the point I'm making, as I said, is quite fundamental in my view. We are helping South African social security agencies. I was thinking many people could agree, at least that's a matter of principle. So that we regulate it in contributions that will be made by members. Yeah. And then how long are we going to entertain this thing so that we provide time for the other what you call presentation. Unless we agree that we can just go along, no. And if we don't finish, we'll resume after lunch. Our just question was that because it won't overwhelm if we don't finish this thing and by last time close things.
Honorable member, before you came, that was taken into consideration that we'll deal with social development and we'll get presentation from SASA and we'll do the discussion after lunch with SASA.
Thanks.
Because there was interference, Mrs. Nsapo. Let me thank you. Members will go and read the remaining part. Let me thank you for the presentation. And let me take this opportunity to give the members to ask questions and clarity. And your encouragement will also assist you on answering those questions. Mrs. Lamuna, your hand was up earlier on. You are number one on my list. Can I have another person?
Julia, thank you. I'm not ready with my questions yet. And you know, we're busy with a very serious topic here. And I cannot even sense the responsibility or seriousness from our side, because you know this is an important document given to us this morning. We need to sit down with this document, scrutinize this document. We must also remember that we have an amended children's bill that is before us. The Older Persons Act was implemented, Children's Act. Those things are need to be taken in consideration. And we are not doing justice to this meeting at all. Giving us scripts and documents. I received in my pigeonhole when I entered this morning, because you know yesterday was constituency day for us. This was just taken back without no explanation why this document, a glossy document, was published, taken back, it is not the right document, and this was substituted. It is unacceptable. The department is losing out on money being sent to do these documents. Unacceptable. What must we do in this situation? I am not happy with the situation, and I feel I cannot partake and scrutinize things the way we're doing it here. The department is only doing social development. We have so many other committees that we need to do justice to, and that we need to sit down and at least scrutinize things that come before us. We cannot do it in a couple of seconds, otherwise we all need to be geniuses here.
What's your proposal on this, Mrs. Lamula? Mrs. Lamula, I'm sure before we started the meeting, we indicated that members were on reserve for a month, was also on sick leave. The first week, it was a summit for NCOP and the celebration of 10 years. And the program was out already before we go on reserve. And this thing was scheduled, but I just want to check with the secretary, because members were not here, even if this thing came, we're supposed to be at the pigeonholes, and members were at the provinces. But let me give this to the secretary and the department too. Dr. Matuan, you want to respond?
Depends, Madam
Chairman.
It's just a small information which might assist Chair.
You are not from social development, you are from SASA. GDG, let me give to GDG.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And that is Lamula, can you switch off your... Thank you. Just to respond on the issue of the two documents. The strategic plan of the document was tabled in March. And we printed a few copies for tabling the strategic plan. However, we realized that the printers had omitted some sections in the brown, in what the honorable member calls the brown document. And that was withdrawn from Parliament, and we retabled the strategic plan with all those sections that were missing, which was the green, which is what you have as the green strategic document. The strategic plan of the document, honorable chair, was tabled in March. I'm not sure of the date, but that says the members should have had the access to the document, from March, if it was tabled in March, because it was tabled in March. However, because we're coming to present here, we took it upon ourselves to provide again this morning the additional copies. But the understanding is the members should have had access to the document if it was tabled in March.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to answer for March because I just want to check maybe it was tabled in the NCOP or in the National Assembly. Honorable
Secretary, can I got strong views on this matter? Can I propose, please, with due respect, I appeal, particularly to honorable members, that for the fact that you have said yes, voted that the meeting should continue, the subject matter under discussion now should have started with the meeting to determine whether you want this meeting or not. I mean, it's your democratic right to say, we are not ready for this presentation, let's listen. That's the first point I want to raise. Now, I'm saying, Chairperson, there are a lot of things involved here. Can I please, that... we may agree that we are not going to do that to this thing. We may say, let's see another day in which we are going to engage now, and maybe leave some of the discussions here, Chairperson, because I'm afraid I really don't want to express certain things. I really don't want to express certain things for now, particularly in the presence of the administration, because I think certain things belong to us, certain things belong to them. Really, Chairperson, I don't think it's augur well for us as this committee to have our secretary there, Ariko. actually, this dialogue is going to waste our time and it's not going to help us. Somebody will say, no, I sent this thing on that date and whatever. I'm not sure we are going to benefit, how we are going to benefit.
Thank you very much. Just hold it. I just want to get views from other members. members, we got the presentation and the date schedule on our program is that the 23rd of May will be a budget vote where the ministers are having this date. So the presentation is today. Are we saying we continue to deliberate on the presentation, or do we need a further date? We'll schedule the further date even if weekend or weekend or Saturday, Sunday will come and work. Over to you, member. Mrs. Lemona?
Right before we start, as a chair, we update you. And you know, we were in recess.
No.
Let me just finish. We were in recess since the end of March. Why was no documents? No documents were sent to us. Nothing was sent to us.
You ask about a quorum.
I asked about the quorum and
I put it up for the dialogue. Then I said we came on the apology. And obviously apologies were rendered. Others were later rendered. I'm taking your ruling. Members, several members. Up to 46 let's say give this button. On the presentation. If none,
allow us to put up some proposals.
Okay.
I'm proposing that let's postpone the discussion on the documents. Let the members be given time to go and look into the documents, go through the documents. Maybe next week we should be given extra time for us to be able to interrogate the department, also follow our progress of the committee.
Second for the postponement, but I want to make a way to members that next week, the whole of next week is a provincial week. All the permanent delegates are going to work to their provinces, starting from the month in the 14th. So, okay, I'll give you a chance. And again, it means we have to go back to our program, but the only time is Monday the 21st, because the 23rd is a debate, and Monday is scheduled for constituency work for members. Members are coming Tuesday or Monday night. But nevertheless, we'll schedule for over the weekend, we'll call them or we'll call us to come and work on Friday. It can be even late on Friday. A Friday before the 21st. So we can book members in to work until late, until we understand. Do you agree on that? Honorable members.
This Friday afternoon if the department is ready. Or even the next Friday will be okay, because we will be, the thing is just that some of the members will be in their provinces. For the Western Cape it will be okay, but what about all the other members being in the other provinces? They will not be able to reach us by Friday. Otherwise it will be...
Friday is a problem to all of us. Monday the 21st is a party day. We'll make an application to the chief whip. Then we'll come and work on Monday the 21st. And secondly, we must also consider the department. Because we call the department, it's their expense to come over here. We keep them for 2 hours, 1 hour, they have to go back and come back. Looking at the cost effective, the flyers, the accommodation, and always the minister is not happy as if you're not doing our things right. But because we don't have any time, let's agree that the Monday the 21st, we'll ask permission, we'll come and meet here. Maybe it will be at 2 o'clock so that members can come Monday morning, early flights, and start our work at 2 o'clock on Monday. Even if maybe the entire department is not here, maybe one or two they can come. DG, I don't know whether it's going to work out well with the with you.
It's fine.
It's fine. Monday the 21st. And I hope all the members will be here of the select committee. We'll try our best to give them the document. But the very same thing is going to apply to SASA, because we just received the documents for SASA. SASA will present, and on the 21st, they have to come back. But I don't think SASA are compelled to come back, because we are dealing with social development budget vote. We are not going to deal with SASA budget vote. But we need SASA to present, and maybe to get more clarity on SASA, because we are not going to vote on SASA on the 21st. Do we agree? So that we give SASA the time to do their work to the fullest until last time. Before that, do you agree, honorable members, because I'm talking to members here? Agree, thank you. GDG.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to indicate that the budget was supposed to be said, it includes SASA.
It includes SASA on social development. Then the minister is going to... So SASA, that's the major one. You are going to give us a presentation and you have to come back on the 21st. We can work the whole night. Can we have 5 minutes smoke break?
I think so.
And then Sasa will take out.
I wish I had a smoke. I know I'm a Punjabi, but what's the point of presenting? Let me do my job, Mr. Document. Chip, we love you guys. We give you this document. Thank you. No, Saprenda on Monday. Saprenda on Monday. Because we'll present again on Monday, so what's the point? We'll do it on the 21st.
You don't have to present now. For we don't do Monday.
They will forget. You start from scratch.
They must go through.
That's the honest truth. You'll start again on the 21st. So what's the point? Yeah, so it means I'm coming back to Cape Town. For 3 days, you! Stop the challenge, it means you're here now. So all of those days, from Monday to Wednesday. So it's pointless to be here on Monday. Go
just come and pack here.
Yes, it's a little party and I'm doing stuff.
You know, I just wanted to check because as the department presented the document in March and there was also ATC in March and the responsibility of our committee was to distribute those documents to members in March to go through. So I just wanted to check if members didn't read those documents or if the department didn't deliver. But the report I got, we had a document from the department in March. There were ATC members did not receive those documents until this morning. I just want the secretary of the committee just to briefly explain because my problem is that when the department goes back, the minister wanted to know why he didn't finish the job of the day looking at cost effect. Now we have to apologize. As a committee or as a chair and the secretary to honorable members and also to the department about the inconvenience. Over to Eric.
Okay. Now we received the strategic plan from the department during March. I neglected to forward the strategic plan to the members. During that time it was constituency. And when members returned last week, it was the Intergovernmental Relations Summit of the NCOP. So members, that's why I sent it out yesterday. So I apologize for that. Give me.
I think we got clarity and I think apologies well accepted. I also want to apologize. First, let me welcome you. Let me welcome you first. Ntate Thetseng, a member of the committee from Limpopo, your late arrival apology was rendered, and Mevila Gazitu, member of the committee from KZN, who came late. Ntate Thetseng, followed by Honorable Setona.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'm not really sure what the secretary maybe I've received wrong document. I think I received this document some 3 weeks ago or so. A pack of a lot of documentation, not yesterday. So I'm not sure whether Erico is very scared, unless it is a different pack. But there's a pack that I received quite some time and some of us managed to go through. So I was just trying to something that I read in relation to this some few weeks ago. Not this yet.
I don't know.
Yeah, Chairperson, most unfortunately, that's why I was initially saying we must avoid discussions and debates. Because my point was, I know that the ABC kept having some media interest, and I wouldn't like this thing to go to that level. Quarrel about speed things where we have not verified facts. I want to agree with Mr. Chede. I can open my computer, unless those documents are incorrect. 3 weeks back, I was in my house, as I was doing my normal reading, and opened my email, I received a set of documents. and for the third time I even phone of one of the members of the committee, Honorable Dolo, to say our research unit actually improving. But they even provided us with their own analysis and perspective. It was done by Arico, unless there was another Arico. So I'm not sure. They might have been wrong documentation, contrary to this one. That's the first thing. The second thing that you must be very careful about, I didn't want to say this thing, I thought I would say this thing only when we are together. There are two processes. There is no document in Parliament that comes straight to the Commission. And I want to emphasize this thing. It is not the responsibility of the Department to give us the copy. I want to emphasize this thing. It is not. The Department, after the Minister, the DG, have sign any document for changing in Parliament, they take it to the presiding officer. This is the procedure. The presiding officer, immediately that document is being handed to presiding officer signs it and refers it to the committee. The process of referring a document to the committee, there is a table in the announcement and table, committee report. And it comes a person in a hard copy. The report of the following committees have been presented to Parliament. Social development, strategic planning, whatever. If you could look on our ACC from March, the whole range of strategic plans of Parliament. No? Now, it's our own system as Parliament. Are we managing that? No? All of them things have been on record is that we cannot, and if it seems huge, we must not attempt to blame the Department. It is not the responsibility of Mr. Makiwani, Mr. Madonde, to come with hard copy. The hard copy is sent to Parliament through those procedures. And it is their charges to bring, it is their charges, Makudi. It is their charges to bring these hard copies to us. But these things are taken through presiding officers and their ATCs. It would have been a legitimate fight if we say, no, this thing was never in ATCs. And if it is not ATCs, in terms of joint rules, it cannot be presented, cannot discuss it because it is an illegal document. As such a person, I must make that particular intervention. It's unfortunate. I didn't want to make this statement in the presence of the, you know, it's our dirty linen. I didn't want it to be,
Thank you very much. We are now clear and liberal before. I'm not going to allow any person. What's now? Okay. Okay, the request is in the first document must be drawn because you've got an updated one, the green one. I don't know. It's not for the first time there to be getting presentations, getting the document in the morning. But the norms is that we normally ask questions of clarities and concerns. Like now we are having many meetings because of the brown document. The brown document, let's leave them on the table aside. Please. Mrs. Lamola, the brown one. In your bag.
Why is it such a need to give this back?
It's the wrong document.
It's the wrong document. So I feel this is the same to me, and this is the whole list.
Okay.
I want to see it, and I want you to look at it.
Okay. The war is over.
And I'm very good.
And the campaign is over. Mrs. Nshapo, I just have a few questions. You can know that maybe in the next meeting you can respond. Because now I've made some points here of clarity. Yeah, so I think those who got clarity and questions they may pose them to the DDG. On page 50, tragic challenges. We talk about NPO, non-profit organizations. If you can maybe tell us about why delays and frustrations to our locals or from our locals, particularly the former cross boundaries, because our NGOs are getting frustrated in terms of assessment or health inspections, those who got old age homes or ECDs, so there's some delays in the locals there, and the it's not pleasant in terms of the NGOs and the our health workers. So our transfers of files from one province to another, issues of handover, did you really work on those things? Because people down there, we are from the constituency where we are complaining. And the last, and also well done by the department in terms of the expenditure on transfer. Most of them are above 1999. I think this is a very good achievement for the department. We have to congratulate you for this. I think I have another one. But for now, I'll pause. Is that it, Tolo? I mean, Sekuna, can you come up with yours?
There are quite a number of some of really comments. Firstly, Chairperson, I want to commend the department for the comprehensive and very, 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 you know, robust. I want to say it's robust, Chairperson, because in my reading, for the first time, it's not just short notes kind of, you know, it's actually some of the core fundamental issues, you know, that are on our national discourse. Like the whole debate around values attached to social security. And we must commend the department for that. But my question here is, if you read this document outside context of the annual report of the department, you know, it will take problems, naturally. Because you only have a sense of synergy, you know, in terms of where we are now, in terms of all this. It sounds like, you know, the department has just changed the date here and presented the same document that it presented last year. I'm saying this thing, it was my experience before, okay? But now, if you read through the annual report, you know, and other related documents, you'll have a better sense of what are issues. My question, Chairperson, the first question, is on the capacity, financially and otherwise, of the department in terms of driving all these core strategic priorities that are entailed in this strategic plan? That's the first question. The second question, Chair, I'm not sure the department is coming up with it might be an old concept. I'm not a social worker, I must submit. You know, community development practitioners. Conceptually, what is the linkage between this concept and the new, recently, you know, formulated concept, which is in the fruition of a community development workers? I'm sure we're all aware. What is the linkage between this and that particular concept? Because in your document, you're talking about this new concept of community development practitioners. So what is the linkage between that and the community development workers? There's no duplication. It's not going to send an intended message that you are duplicating, you understand? For me, that is quite fundamental. And throughout the whole report, I'm not sure, Chairperson, what is now the current policy of the Department of Social Development with respect to this intervention measure on food parcels. Where does it fall now? Have you done away with it? And if it is still there, under what particular strategic priority is this there? Because I've got views about that thing. But I wouldn't like to engage in a debate, you know, when there's not debate. If it's not there, then it's fine. If it's there, maybe I may have a sense of, you know, what is the status with respect to that. A very interesting issue, which I believe is a victory for the youth of our country, professionalizing youth work. I want to have a sense, Chairperson, what does this entail in essence? And at a consultative level, both internally at an interdepartmental level and the external, what kind of groundbreaking work has been done in this respect? Is it a social development issue or is it a broad notion of our country to say we are professionalizing youth work? Because for me, youth work cannot only be limited, you know, to social development, you know. There's been advocacy from the inception of the National Youth Commission about professionalization of the youth work. And for me, this is quite one of the issues which are fundamental, and I want to really say the department is taking us forward on this thing. Last question, Chairperson. Last question is around stipend, issues of stipend. I appreciate that you are saying you are in the process of establishing some national norms and standards in the community. Shall you agree with me? I was with you, fortunately, when we were in one of Northern Cape. You remember Kalahan? Where communities, when you go to communities in province, they tell you that our standard regime is this one. Eh? And when you go to another province, you know, the standard regime is completely different. And you know, it causes inconsistencies, it causes, you know, some, you know, demoralization. You know. There seems to be no uniform regime, particularly within social development around this standard regime. I can't remember which province is each person, where we were, where they were saying, no, look, we give these people once off money for the whole year. And they're doing well, and with this money they come and develop some cooperatives as a form of income generation, you know, whilst doing all these kind of things that they're supposed to do. So I really want to have a sense from the department on this. I don't want to comment, Chairperson, on the inequity of non-financial data by provinces, which according to the report is actually questionable, because I've got strong ideological views on that thing. If Deputy Minister or the Minister was here, I was going to raise quite, you know, sharply the issue around that. You know, but it does not only relate to this department, you know, it relates, it cut across, particularly those concurrent functions in terms of Schedule 4 of the Constitution. There's a problem, there's a fundamental problem where national department says, this is what we have. You go to the province says, no, we don't know where these people get people involved. Here is our feature, I mean, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure communities are aware, even in one of the workshops. Some people were challenging the Minister of Finance about his own assumptions on setting, you know, trends in terms of financial spending. So, Chairperson, that's the issue, and I'm happy that the discourse on the building of dependencies or citizenry, the department welcomes it as constructive and ongoing debate, because it's very ideological. On the one hand, one may say, you know, it's dependent. But dependent so far, because here we're dealing with people who are marginalized completely. My grandmother used to pay for my school fees. She was only making pension in a year for 6 months. And if today, when opportunities are created, somebody comes with an ideological tag and says, oh, this is dependent. Mm. You see, certain sections of our population have been benefiting to these things that we are saying they must be accessible to our people. Ne? And if now we are doing this thing, ne, to create parity, somebody raises an ideological tag and says, no, this is dependent. I think it's a kind of an issue that as parliament, you know, as society project, we must engage with on an ongoing basis so that we find each other. You know, sense that the department has not been distracted by that kind of a discussion.
Thank you, Honourable
Member. I think in addition to the statement, if the CDG can also clarify the relief process, the relief assistance, especially for HCBC, home care-based committee, how they assistance. Any other clarity? Honorable Sekani?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm on page 9 of the document under social assistance at the last bullet point when the presenter said reduce of turnaround time to process application for two months. So, Chairperson, I want to know, is this program already started to reduce this application? Because in the rural areas, they usually take about a year or 2 years to receive this social grant, whatever. More especially in the rural Eastern Cape, we don't have these facilities. Like, we use the old computers, we don't have the facilities. So how is the department going to improve in our areas? More especially if you go down to Eastern Cape, there are no facilities. Another thing, Chairperson, on page 13, again on page 13. Also the last bullet under special program, the said fast track registration of new ECT and sites in line with EPWP. Also in rural areas, Chairperson, I also have also an interest in this site. Is the rural areas also have this program? Because in my understanding, there's nothing in the rural areas. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Thank you. Maybe a follow-up again, because in most provinces, the ECDs were under education department and now with the social department. Now those transfers, because we now call them crashes. Early child development, they're being transferred to schools as great as. But now communities are left out without having those facilities. But the process and transfer and hold over is not even possible. Can you maybe get a clarity on that one? Any other comments, I suppose? GDG, on page 11, social work services, the monitoring and evaluation program, do we have directory that look into those things? Members, do you agree that we leave this for social development? She's not going to respond now until we meet again on the 21st. Or do you want her to respond? They don't come on the 21st. What do you think? Agree. I want somebody to raise their hand, not just to talk as if we are somewhere in the tavern. Let me take over this opportunity to give a Sasa. Mr. Makiwani, can you take us through?
Thanks, Madam Chairperson. Just as quickly before we present. Yes, the document has been circulated at the presentation.
Okay.
If we could get a clarity, Madam Chairperson, in terms of the 21st of this month, do you want the whole team to come back or you want just one person because the presentation has been made? And are we going to take questions for clarity so that the rest of the team doesn't come back? As you indicated in your introduction, it's expensive to be flying members to here, I mean the officials here. I would rather have them processing grant application forms, which is our mandate, Madam Chair.
Yeah, we've got up to 13 hours or 18 hours between meetings. So we can present and give us clarities and questions, and we extend them to come on.
Thanks, Madam Chairperson, for the opportunity for us to present our 2007 2009-10 strategic plan. The presentation, Madam Chairperson, covers an overview of the agency in terms of the strategic issues which inform our work, the macro-social context.
Maybe before that, the one who speaks is Mr. Makiwani, the CEO of SASA, which was officially launched on the 2nd of April in Pretoria head office. So the independent now. Over to you, sir.
The third element we want to cover, Madam Chairperson, is to look at the progress we have made for 2006-07 and followed by the strategic plan for 2007-2009-10. And I'll make some concluding remarks, Madam Chairperson, in terms of the issues that the strategic plan raises. Firstly, in terms of the mandate of SASA, we have to ensure that we provide comprehensive social security services against vulnerability and poverty within, of course, our South African constitutional and legislative framework. The vision we have as SASA is to provide world-class social security services through administering quality social security services cost effectively and timely using appropriate best practices, by firstly developing and implementing policies which are set for us by the Department of Social Development, programs and procedures for an effective and efficient social grant administration system. Secondly, the promotion and protection of human dignity, which is a very important value within the Social Security Agency. And thirdly, ensuring that we deliver innovative and cost-effective and efficient services to individuals, families, and community groups via a number of easy access multiple channels using modern technology. As an organization, we have set ourselves some values which underpin how we do work within this organization. Firstly, an important issue of confidentiality, because we deal with people's records in this organization, which contains a lot of information which needs to be treated with confidentiality. The issue of integrity in this organization becomes paramount in terms of how we deal with people, fairness in terms of how we treat beneficiaries and ourselves within the organization, the issue of transparency, which is an issue to me which is very important for officials in this organization, how they relate to beneficiaries and how they relate to each other. Do we have predictable rules that people can hold us accountable? Do they know where they are going to get their services, or are we hiding that information? Lastly, the issue of equitability, which is also a very important value that we need to treat people equally when they come to our own doors to seek the benefits that this government provides to them. We have a slogan which we've popularized. I'm sure everybody now in the committee knows that we want to pay the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place in dialogue. Madam Chairperson, we are informed in terms of our work by a number of pieces of legislation and constitutional issues. Firstly, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa is a very important document that informs our work. Secondly, the South African Social Security Agency Act. And thirdly, the Social Assistance Act. These are the three pieces of legislation that inform our work, amongst other pieces of legislation that are contained within the Department of Social Development. We have four strategic objectives which we try to locate our work within the agency. Firstly, Madam Chairperson, we want to ensure that we have got a high performance institution, that we improve service delivery, we improve operations within the organization, and lastly, that we tackle the issues of good governance. When you look at these priorities, what are the key elements in terms of output that we see as important over the medium term? Firstly, on the performance of, on the setting up of the high performance institution. What we want to do as an output is to ensure that we develop and operationalize a high-performing and efficient and effective institution. We need to ensure that we review how we perform as an organization, that the organization, the agency, complies with legislative mandates that have been set. On the second issue of service delivery improvement, we want to ensure that the payment of grants are managed effectively and efficiently and in an economic sense. On improving operational excellence, we want to ensure that our performance as our mission and vision says we want to be a world-class organization, that we benchmark the institution against the best performing practices globally. lastly, on good governance, we want to ensure that the organization complies with all the legislative mandates. As an organization, at the head office level, we have got 7 branches. Or as an institution, we have got 7 branches at head office and 9 regional offices in terms of our organizational structure. And each branch or region is headed by an executive manager at the DDG level, Madam Chair. When one looks at the macro social or socio-economic context in forming and locating the work of the agency, some of the issues Madam Chairperson has been alluded to by my colleagues from the Department of Social Development in terms of poverty, equity issues, inequality, unemployment, and so on, and so and a host of social ills. But I need to say, at the policy reform context, we are part of what I would call comprehensive social security program of government, which traditionally comprises 3 basic elements. There's the first pillar, which is basic social protection, which is the pillar I'm alluding to. The second pillar, contributory pension, contributory arrangement, and thirdly, voluntary arrangement. If one looks at the values underpinning all this, which is very important because these are values that our government has accepted, the first issue is equity. I don't need to explain it. The second issue is pooling of risks. Thirdly, mandatory participation for Pillar 2 interventions, which are contributory interventions towards social security. Thirdly, and then fourthly, is administrative efficiency. Lastly, which is a program that we currently administer, is solidarity, where those employees contribute towards those who don't have the means, and this is done through the fiscal transfers to those of our society who are in poverty or vulnerable. So that's the macro-social context when people look at these interventions in terms of the comprehensive social security framework. In terms of the social grants or social benefits, if we look them at in terms of their expenditure as a percentage or related to our GDP, we currently spend around 3.2% of our GDP, and this is expected to decline over the MTF period to 3.1%. I must say, when you talk about 3% of GDP, the numbers might seem to be small, but we are talking about a lot of billions in terms of this program. And those were outlined by my colleagues from Social Development as around 67, going up to 79 billion over the medium term. In terms of the targeted measures of social assistance, we provide child support grants, and which will continue to grow over the current medium-term framework. The old age grants, although they saw some growth, we think that in fact they are growing at a population growth rate, which is around 2.5%. Disability over the medium term are the major drivers for foster care and care dependency grant. And of course, within our context, especially in relation to foster care grant, the impact of HIV and AIDS cannot be overlooked in terms of that program. Madam Chairperson, when one looks at the organizational context, what we have been looking at within the agency since it was established since it came into operation in 2005, in fact, through the pieces of legislation that the NCOP and Parliament passed, our major involvement has been on the real consolidation of the social assistance.
I just want to correct.
Yeah.
NCOP and Parliament. I don't know what they're talking about. National Assembly.
Yes.
National Assembly and NCOP make Parliament.
No, no. I'm talking about the Portfolio Committee and the NCOP.
Yes.
As the two houses that are deliberating.
But you said NCOP and Parliament.
Sorry for that.
So I'm saying NCOP and National Assembly make Parliament.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for that. If you skip to the next page, Madam Chair, that page 10, and looking at the issues there, our focus for the 2006-07 financial year, energies were spent on the establishment of the agency, operationalization of the agency, which Madam Chairperson, you also came at the launch of that institution at the end of March, and the integration of the social assistance, administration, and payment services. Some of the issues which are important in terms of those three elements, firstly, the whole issue of financial and operational separation and ring-fencing of the social assistance, administration, and payment services, the issue of office accommodation, and also the continuation, because to us it became very important that as we transfer and as we manage this program, at the core of it is that service delivery shouldn't suffer. And I must say that, I mean, when we look back, and I think in all the complex transformation, nobody noticed that there was a change from non-provincial administration to a single entity. The transition at that level has been smooth. On the next slide, what we have been looking at is the finalization of the service delivery administration and payment services model, which we are still continuing with that, and the establishment and consolidation of CLASA over this current financial year. On service delivery improvement, what we have been looking at is the turnaround strategy, which intends to streamline our business processes, a new payment service management system for social assistance, looking at an optimal service delivery infrastructure network, and also to improve access channels to services in rural and peri-urban areas. We have set ourselves some priorities over the MTEF. The first issue is that we need to improve the quality of services that we provide to the beneficiaries. We need to improve, now that we have consolidated the organization, organizational capacity, begin to answer the question whether we are correctly wired to ensure that we can deal with this administration of benefits in an efficient and effective manner. We need to ensure that we improve the payment services, and it's our view that in terms of these payment services, beneficiaries should be treated with dignity, they shouldn't be in long queues, and also the whole net model in which we do these payment services needs to be overhauled. Obviously, it's not a once-off issue, it's what we inherited, it's what we need to move over the medium term. We also need to enhance the integrity of the grant processes, the processes that deliver these benefits. We also need to ensure that we address the questions of financial management. And lastly, the issue of fraud within the sector needs to be minimized. The minister is on record with some estimates of 1.5 billion that we are estimating that we lose in the grant system due to fraudulent activities. And I must say, which is an issue I will allude to, that with all concerted campaigns, we have begun to address that, and as an organization and institution, we are having a zero tolerance to fraudulent activities. The next issue addresses the issues of corporate governance within the social assistance function. And it's an important issue, Madam Chairperson, because it begins to answer the question whether accountability lies within this organization.
Firstly, is the first issue is that the Minister of Social Development is the executive authority accountable as the political principal for the entire social assistance function, which means by implication this institution reports directly to him. So we, DSC is responsible for policy formulation, while SASA is in terms of social security on that element, while SASA is responsible for the grant administration and payment services. That's where the synergy and the link, which the colleagues were saying, I mean, in terms of the budget vote that the minister will be taking, because it has to attach in terms of policy and the provision of the services. The agency is accountable to the minister, I've already said that, and the regulatory mechanism in terms of the relationship is through a shareholder contract and a performance agreement, which is signed with the minister. Madam Chairperson, in terms of the achievements, I've already mentioned as I was going along, but let me just highlight some of the issues and go over page 14, which I think are important highlights in terms of what we are able to achieve in terms of our first year of operation. I deal squarely, firstly, on the issues of fraud, where 15,000 fraudulent public servants were identified in terms of our own data mining. Over 2,000 public servants to date have been convicted of fraud. Some of those are paying acknowledgement of debt, which they've signed with the institutions that are doing recovery of those money. We have also received over 2,000 cases, reports, and calls to our fraud hotline. Over 86,000 people have received indemnity, which has been approved by the minister. We received application, 86,000 applications for indemnity, which has been processed, and 71,000 applicants were granted indemnity in terms of what the minister put as condition for indemnity, whilst over 8,000 were denied indemnity, and those are being investigated by the law enforcement agencies. In terms of the second program, which we are highlighting there, the corporate services, we have transferred over 6,000 officials, both at head office, that is National Department of Social Development, and the province into the agencies. Over 300 staff have been recruited and appointed within the agency. We have filled, Madam Chairperson, most of the executive management positions at head office, and we are busy filling some of the executive positions at provincial level. Most of the senior management positions have also been filled, and we are implementing a number of policies which regulate corporate services. The skills audit is at an advanced stage, which will inform us what are the capacity gaps, what are the skills, and what are the training needs within the organization that we currently have. And I need to say, Madam Chairperson, when one looks at the social assistance function in terms of the capacities that were there, it's been alleged that if you couldn't do anything previously in government, they would say go be a pensions officer. And that was a reserve for the low-performing cadre within the broader public sector. And that's an image that we want to change, because these are the people who touch the lives of millions of people whom government provides services to them. They need to really adhere to the pillar principles. They need to be well-capacitated. And that's why we are training a lot of officials through a number of institutions to ensure that we can turn around the perception of this program. Let me proceed on page, on the next slide, on the ICT. Of course, there we are implementing and operating a number of transversal systems of governance which we have put in place. And the first phase, which is the last bullet on that, of the MI project has been completed, and all the beneficiary files are now, we can account for most of them. In terms of communications and marketing program, we have been participating in a number of government endeavors. We are part of the social development sector, and we have been trying to provide a lot of materials to the citizens. And one of the issues that I'm looking at is that these materials must be in all the official languages, and they must be accessible to all the people. So you will see, in terms of a number of pamphlets that we are providing, if you are in KwaZulu-Natal, at least the language there must be in the pamphlets, and people must be able to access the documents in Zulu or Xhosa or any other of the languages that people speak in those areas. In terms of the next program, the finance, Madam Chairperson, what we did in the previous financial year is that all the budgets and transfers were relocated to the agency. We have established all the important compliance and regulatory processes within the finance department, your bid committee process, your supply chain management, your policies and delegations within that environment. When it comes to customer services, Madam Chairperson, some of the issues have been the implementation of the norms and standards that are set by the department, standardization of a number of policies, procedures, so that when you go from one province or region to another, there is a consistency in which things are done across the country. And that's a challenge that as an organization currently face. So what we began to do is that even the plans, how you get into a building, the look and feel, what it provides for people with disabilities, for elderly and so on, must be the same across the country. And that's what we hope that over the MTF period, when ultimately you can say the agency process now is running on an efficient, you should have a look and feel. Even the people that service you, you shouldn't know that I'm in the Eastern Cape or I'm in Mpumalanga. You should have that look and feel as if you are treated by one person across the country. So that's the ideal way we want to get as an organization. The second issue, of course, leaving the offices and infrastructure is to improve the turnaround in which these applications are made. When people knock at the agency doors, they are vulnerable, they are looking for immediate assistance. And what we are saying is that we need to process this within the shortest period of time. And what we have been piloting, Madam Chairperson, is a two-day turnaround time. And I'm sure you got from the department that they are looking at a two-month time. At the moment, anywhere between 2 to 3 months. And what the agency is saying is that within a day now, you should be able to be told whether your grant is approved or not. And that's what we are moving to. And that's a pilot that we are completing, Madam Chairperson. Okay, the next issue we are looking at is really the reviews, looking at the in-ramp and off-ramp in terms of these benefits. Some are for short-term assistance, and as part of creating efficiency to ensure that you address both vertical and horizontal issues of selection, moral hazard and adverse selection within this program, that you maintain an efficient and a quality database. We don't want people who ought not to be in the system to be in the system, and as much as we don't want people who ought to be in the system to be staying outside the system. That's why Madam Chairperson,
the Minister also launched within the launching of the agency. We have purchased 90 mobile offices, which we want those mobile offices vans to go to the deep rural areas to ensure that we can get to those areas, dig and make sure that we can cover every person
within the country who ought to be in the system. They shouldn't be disadvantaged because of the infrastructural related issues. So we are also standardizing the application form throughout the agency. Next slide. What we have and completed, Madam Peterson, is that we have a fully operational head office and non-regional offices that have been established. We presented our step plan 206-207 to 208-09 for the agency. A lot of work has gone into separating the businesses at regional, district, and local level offices. As you know, we have been part of the department and now provincial departments. But we are also saying, in terms of that separation, we shouldn't do it in a way that dislocates SASA as not to be part of the social development family. We are saying ideally they should be under one roof. If it's not feasible, they should be in close proximity to the social development offices, because essentially we are dealing with the same clients in terms of our services. We have, of course, developed and provided regular monitoring reports, and as I have said, all the regions and also at head office, we have made sure that all the transversal systems are in place and are working properly. Let's then look at service delivery trends, because we are not only about establishment processes. I think what I want to highlight is that in terms of year on year, the growth has been over 10.7% with the whole establishment processes, which is a phenomenal growth in terms of candidates or people coming into the benefit system. The next page, if you look at grant administration, grant expenditure patterns, obviously the average growth in terms of actual budget, and I think you would have to look at this figure in terms of the percentage of GDP, is about, in terms of actual growth in terms on a month-to-month basis, has been 0.5%. This leads me, after this brief overview, in terms of what we set as the strategic priorities over the medium term for the South African Social Security Agency. Looking at program by program, Madam Chairperson, program one, the priorities, which is the second slide there, is to improve and strengthen the management of the agency, provide capacity building for the institution. Yes. Yeah. Is to develop and implement institutional policies in to ensure that this institution complies, ensure effective and efficient and economical management of the agency's resources, and effective interaction and partnership with key stakeholders. In terms of program two, which is internal audit and risk management, our priority is to provide quality internal audit services to improve efficiency within the agency, to develop and implement national fraud prevention strategy, which is already at an advanced stage within the organization, is to increase the rate of investigation, increase in-house capacity to do these investigations, and finalize and implement the risk management strategy within the organization. In terms of corporate services, the ongoing implementation of HR strategy and policies becomes important. Reviewing and benchmarking all these policies within best practice environment. We have to finalize, which we hope in this current year, not over the MTF, and over the MTF, the skills audit. The change management in this environment becomes important. I've alluded to the issues that we are inheriting officials, which by operation of law, their own has to be transferred to the agency. They need to be trained, they need to be changed, they need to ensure that it's not business as usual. SASA is about service delivery, and those are the issues of which we want to put as part of change management. Of course, some of the issues that we want to address is continuous litigation within the sector and the issues of contract management. For communications and marketing, we need to strengthen our internal communication. We need to promote FASA as a brand, and I'm hoping that if any of the members happen to be this organization when they retire or when they seek for other benefits, they should be proud of this institution. Because this is not only the institution of the vulnerable in terms of our mandate and in terms of the policy framework that is coming up. We need to ensure that as an institution, you'll also be proud to go to social security offices. It should be part of the best practice institution that this government has set. Let me go over program 5. is to implement the enterprise resource planning system. And of course, we also need to ensure that all the policies and issues that are that will ensure strong financial accountability are implemented within the, that program, and the number of innovations. In terms of ICT program, there are a lot of issues that we are looking at in terms of a number of categories. Category A, which looks at internal corporate processes and improvement of the automation processes within the organization. Category B, we need to look at those core processes within our organization, from application to payment, the whole reduction of application processing time, lowering of administration costs, reduction of litigation, enhanced fraud prevention strategies. The ICT must help us to put those enablers and solutions that can assist us to be able to look at these issues. What are we going to have within the institution? And also the issues of external stakeholder process improvement and automation processes. Those are business imperatives. There are ICT solutions. I'm not going to go over them. But let me zoom into customer services, which is the last but one program. We have launched a customer charter already, which we want to roll out in all our offices, train our people, and become part of change management. As I said, we began to implement the turnaround time. We want to roll out that throughout all our service offices. Of course, I mean, social security, like welfare service, is a labor-intensive process. You can't roll out a turnaround time if you don't have the correct resources and the people there. There must be people to process these programs, and it must go with recruitment of people and so on within the organization. I did allude, Madam Tempest, when we presented some time back to the committee that when one looks at the norms of staff-to-beneficiary ratios and looking at international benchmarks, and they are looking in terms of our review, it's 1 to 800 staff to beneficiaries. When you look at our context, it's 1 in certain province almost close to 2,000 to 3,000. And to me, I mean, since that's why we have got these anomalies in terms of backlogs, in terms of slow processing of these applications and so on. There has to be a concerted effort to ensure that we do recruit the people within the sector, and we do train the people in the sector. And that's what we hope over the medium term, to really put all our energies in terms of ensuring that we have got sufficient cadres within the environment. The conditions of pay bonds is an issue, I had alluded before. It's an issue that we continue to put at the highest level of priority. How beneficiaries are treated at pay bonds, what infrastructure is there, becomes very important. Obviously, some of these infrastructure relate to buildings, which we need to procure, some we need to build. It relates to what kind of services are there, seats and toilets and so on, which we need to negotiate with those whom we rent those in either local government, and also if they are not those, we need to procure that infrastructure. It is an issue which we want to ensure that, as I said, Madam Chairperson, when it comes to those offices, they must be model offices, which all of us as South Africans should be proud. There are issues that have to do with service delivery infrastructure, management of contracts, and also the whole issue of customer care becomes very important. The whole issue of the contact center for beneficiaries, they can call and inquire about any other service they need to get from the agency, and the whole review and implementation and rollout of the customer charter that I've alluded to. There are issues of fraud detection mechanisms that we want to look at it. We don't want to be looking at those who are in the system, but we want to be alerted even before fraudulent activities come into the system. And the quality of data becomes very important in terms of beneficiary review and maintenance of the data there. Let me skip to program 8, page 26, which is strategy and business development. This is a program, Madam Chair, that looks at how do we change this organization? What strategies should we put in place that will change the face of this organization from the current as is to a better, optimum, efficient and effective service delivery institution? So there are a number of priorities that we have put up there. On the second bullet is that we need to ensure that we have got an effective and efficient knowledge management function within this organization. We need to ensure that we can look at the partnerships that we have, both current and future partnerships, in terms of collaboration and making sure that we understand the linkages with Home Affairs as a service provider, as a way we get, our identification system. We have got alliances with SARS, we have got alliances with UIF and so on. The integrity of those linkages needs to be protected. If one looks at other jurisdictions across the world, social security becomes a cross bank of referral of all the government institutions, because that's where they will be looking at in terms of if I provide water and electricity, what other these vulnerable groups are getting, what other services from my house and so on. And those are the partnerships that we're talking about that we need to put in place, Madam Chairperson. Obviously, we need to be informed in terms of the numbers, in terms of the economic scenarios of modeling, and what type of environment is this that we're dealing with. We are also looking at both the development of our strategic plans, and the lastly, the issue of monitoring and evaluation becomes very important in terms of the strategy and business development. But I'm certain that the last slide deals with what is contained in the third plan as well, the estimates of national expenditure. Those figures were alluded to by my colleague from Social Development. I don't need to repeat because they're a repetition of the same figure, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. We are ready to take the questions.
Thank you, CEO, and also to thank the department for inviting us on the launching of the BASOF. Unfortunately, it was the research site. I had to go and attend the committee because I was in Pretoria. It's where I'm staying now, basically. So thanks very much. And some of the things you mentioned here, we saw that as a true reflection, especially the mobile offices unit and the infrastructure in terms of the HGCCC. Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, we still have time for questions, clarity, comments.
Honorable Madala Magubari.
Thank you, Shimpa. First, I would like to thank the presentation. It's quite clear and understand exactly now what is the work of SOAS. Because people used to confuse us, especially only last week when we had the summit at NOP. You know, some delegates were mentioning that SOAS has just changed the name. They are still maintaining the CPS staff. Yeah, they are still maintaining the CPS staff. They just changed the name and they don't want to be held accountable. They say they account to national government. So I want clarity on this issue, which we raised at the summit. Can you clarify on this? Ma'am
Lamola?
Yes, thank you.
I'm really very pleased with the progress that SASA has made. Our people are benefiting. But I'm just worried about this, especially in the rural areas where we still have the 1 to 2 months delay to our towns, big towns and cities where people have a 1 day processing system. You know, it is actually the rural areas, the poorest of the poor, that they really need to see to and to service. And that is my problem that I have. I was also going to ask SASA challenges. And I think in your priorities you have meant those are actually your challenges. So I'm right when I see that. I would like to know how many pay points throughout the country you have at present. How many pay points? And you spoke on the permanent structures. I would like to know the percentage of pay points having electricity, water and toilets, because that was always a challenge of the old system. And what the percentage of fraudulent activities still occurring in SASA at present is. And then we also had the Honourable Maggie was speaking on it. Some members complaining about payments into banks. If the pot is on a Saturday or a Sunday, they only receive their payment on a Tuesday, which is very awkward for some recipients. If you can please explain to us. Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, she has not taken my point, the one that I raised in the commission. The white discrimination, that's what she has raised. Why discrimination on the elderly person? Because they are the ones who look after the families, grandchildren, what have you. Now they don't get their pay just like us, as she has mentioned. If it's a holiday, it's well. Let me say, the month ends on the 30th. On Saturday, 30th. Perhaps Sunday, 31st. And then Monday is a holiday. This poor woman or poor old man won't get his or her pay until the next following next working day, which will be Tuesday. Even if it falls in the other, let me say it's end of the year, 2007. But his or her payment will come 2008. Just look at that. It's just a discrimination of some sort that we are not aware of, but they would not like if it happens to you. Thank you.
So the financial institution will have to recheck their system. Honorable Tete.
Capital, I just want to check a standard pay point. What are the facilities available at the standard pay point, particularly in rural areas? I'm saying this because recently I've requested the establishment of a pay point in a rural area where people are traveling long distances. And I'm worried because there are no buildings. Rural areas are not like towns. You know, we don't have infrastructure for government. You either have to establish something or there's an existing wall. If it's not there, what do you do in a standard way, just to have an idea of, Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Let me just come up with the clarity I think Dr. Mikey went. You talk about the... In fact, firstly, let me just compliment your office for not having acting Hollywood. Those are acting. Most of the senior managers are appointed, even at the regional level. But of course, this confusion of regional offices and branches. I don't know whether the provinces are now regional offices, if I can get clarity on that. And back to the PayPoint offices. Last week, Monday, I think, in my constituency, I was called in Karankua, where it was clear, where Zone 16, they've been having their own date, and Zone 4, and those are the big zones. And after SASA, the first month, they have to go and convert in one office for the payout. It was a stampede, and everybody was called there. So I just want to check whether there's a local office there, and why do they match those areas, because they used to get their pay points in Karankua. Now part of it they've gone to Madiveng as bribe. Now the area now falls under SPAN. I'll see if we can check if maybe the management there is, because it was not the only that one, because they were complaining that they've been taking, they shortened the days. They used to have 2 days, but these days, one day had to cater for entire township. Thank you. Satisfaction followed by Mangila again. And Satisfaction.
Sorry, Chairperson, I just forgot to ask one question here. I'm not sure whether they will be, it's not, but when SASA took over, they found provinces having service providers. Now, in one province, I'm not sure, there is one service provider that has been continued, despite that there has been court challenges in Limpopo. I'm not sure how you're handling that situation, you know, because it was worrying to some of us, but we didn't know what legal arrangements you have done, because there has been a decision in your court to say some things were not regularly done. So I just want to have an idea of how that situation is being dealt with. Sorry about this.
Thank you very much. It's just this subject of pay points. Mm-hmm. I know the pay points. I'm from KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. It's the largest province,
mm-hmm.
with a total of almost 10 million. Now, tell me, I can just go and check, because I do remember that I did a bit of research about improvement of the pay points.
Mm-hmm.
Seemingly, in the rural areas, I think that's still the same.
Yes.
If you can just tell me that perhaps if you have too much concerns, just go and check maybe this angle. I travel a lot. I can even check, you know. Because, you know, if it's raining, they're just outside there in the rain, sitting there what areas, and also toilet facilities, you name them, I don't know. When do you think, perhaps, you will be over with improving this pay point? Maybe 2009 or 2010, I mean, something like that. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, my minor few questions of clarity indeed. The first one being around transformation of the payment system. I'm quite aware that South Africa is not monolithic in terms of correct health communities. And as a result, you cannot have one size or fit all approach. But dealing with the whole issue of dignity, human dignity, which is quite fundamental, from what happened in the state. And the incidences where elders, you know, die there because some during winter, they'll go as early as 11 o'clock in the evening so that they become the first on the queue. It is a national problem. So now, I just want to have your comment. What possible scenarios and options do you have in mind in terms of, you know, transforming and overhauling the current payment system to ensure that there's indeed, you know, human dignity? That's the first one. The second one, Chairperson, it has come to the attention of some of us that some of the delays particularly in respect to the foster care, you know, processing of foster care, necessarily does not reside with the Department of Social Development. Because the final arbiter in determining whether, you know, this child must be, you know, whatever, resides with the court. And even Northwestern, the Free State, last time when one was there, there was a huge backlog in that respect. And the Department of Justice was saying, look, we are having a challenge. Some of the courts do not have designated magistrates who are, you know, looking on these things, you know, on an ongoing basis. The magistrate takes this thing as one of the edge-on, you know, tasks. You know, only when it's free, you decide to go and let me check, man, and that kind of a thing. It has been a challenge. So, I want to understand what kind of partnerships, in a more structured way, have been developed with the Department of Justice in trying to improve that particular situation. And maybe to say, what is the status at this point in time? The last one, Chairperson, you have spoken about cooperative governance, explaining yourself, accountability lines in our hierarchy.
Yeah.
Where I come from, the Free State legislature, they've got a petition system. This petition system is to allow citizens of this country where they feel that they have been wrongly denied certain access, you know, to certain rights and services by government, by, you know, by any department, they're actually petitioning the legislature. And the legislature normally go, you know, do its own findings and whatever. That's not the resolution. That the MEC, can you review this thing? In terms of our findings, this is the kind of situation. And the issue of this temporary, what you call temporary disability grant, was one of the most, you know, topical issues, and it remains one. Now, in the light of this restructure, what is the relationship firstly between your regional branches in provinces with the provincial Department of Social Development? Because I understand everybody accounts you, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I'm a strong proponent of a unitary state. But now practically, what is the linkage between the provincial social development, okay? And your offices down there, and how are legislators, you know, engaged? Have you opened, have you branded yourself, have you marketed yourself? Okay, I want everybody to come on, you know, so that we move away from this dogmatic interpretation of the Constitution. You know, some officials in government are so dogmatic. The things that they threatening that they are national, you know, when MPs in the legislature, talking about what the people are saying, they say, no, I don't account to you, I account to national. No, national meetings, then you ask, at the corner there, that's where services are provided. And this is the person who's coming to speak to this particular official about, you know, delivery challenges. So I'm saying, how are you dealing with that thing? And maybe what is the experience in that respect, you know, if one may have a challenge. I think it's related to what Umama Makuban Madan said, when the legislators were saying, no, this thing is just a new name, but the same system which has just had the accountability line, you know. This is what people are saying. Those are some of the perceptions. I would really appreciate if you may have your comments on those three issues. I don't want to talk about litigation. I support the view of the minister. The only minister who never was defensive, you know, to say, look, if I was this citizen, you know, being denied my rights, you know, I wouldn't care whether I voted for the ANC or not. I'll also go to court. and I think people are saying, no, our constitution is the ownership, collective ownership of the people of South Africa. And if our rights are enshrined in the constitution, you know, we must actually, you know, have a recourse. And that recourse is there. It was never there before. I mean, and we must celebrate that you are spending 134 million, 850,000 on litigation. We must celebrate that. We must not only look at it, you know, from some other pessimist who says, why are you spending on this thing, you know, it's incompetent, you know. It means that our people are becoming more conscious about their rights. You must celebrate that thing. You must celebrate that thing, and I'm personally welcoming it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, that thing. There's no delivery at provincial level and national level. It's at local. I just want to make a follow-up on the temporary disability grant by 30.2%. If it can be clarified, how does it work? Well, we supposed to understand because of the offense we are having in South Africa. But temporary disability grant gone by
30%. Madam Lamula.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, my one question is also on temporary disability grant, the increase of 30.2%. What is the main reason for this? And then on public servants convicted of grant fraud, are they still in office? And if so, why are they still there? And then also on applicants being denied indemnity, will they be the only ones to be investigated, charged, and sentenced? Or what is your view on that? And then only on senior managers. All senior manager posts have not been filled. Is there any reason for this? And how many are still outstanding? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Over to you, Mr. Makiwani. May you respond?
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Some of the questions we will try to record and provide a comprehensive report. I'll tell you which are those questions, like how many pay points and what is in each pay point. We do have a comprehensive review that we've done. All I know is over, but I would want to give a precise figure in terms of that, and I think in your discussion we'll give you details of how many pay each province, which one has got what infrastructure, and so on. I need to say, Madam Chairperson, that the agency establishment process is not a once-off event. It's a complex transformation exercise. And these priorities and these issues we are putting up, we are hoping that over the MTF, we could have addressed all the backlogs and all those things of creating infrastructure. If there's no infrastructure or a pay point or something to construct it, it's something that takes a year or 18 months to have the building and so on. Those are the constraints and rigidities that we have. Having said that, maybe I need just to address few issues and my colleagues can add to some of the other questions that have been raised. We do have norms and standards for pay points, what ought to be in each and every pay point. It must be a covered area which protects beneficiaries against sun or adverse conditions. You need to have seats within the pay point, you need to have toilet facilities, you need to have security. Those are the critical elements when people come to our pay points. Of course, some of this infrastructure, we don't need to build it ourselves, it is already there. That's why we liaise and work very closely with local government to look at what infrastructure is not utilized, which communities or we can be used, because it's going to be used for 1 or 2 days. So can we rent that? If there isn't an infrastructure in deep rural areas, for instance, we have begun to build up some infrastructure which can be used as pay points and also service points for the provision of services as well. But we are also saying you can't build that infrastructure everywhere. That's why the whole question of the mobile offices becomes important. These mobile offices are going to go to those deep rural areas where there is no infrastructure and where it also becomes impossible or impractical, that's not impossible, to put a fixed infrastructure. And this is the first really pilot in terms of this mobile office to see how they work, whether they really are achieving, because you might find in certain communities in terms of application processes, which we have been observing, you receive 10 applications per week. I mean, is it a good idea to have a permanent office, or this mobile office can service that community. Because it says there are people, but it's not the volume that would render that, I mean, necessarily you need to create a fixed infrastructure. So what we have begun to do, which I agree with the honorable member from KwaZulu-Natal, is that, I mean, as of now, the rural areas still have got a deficit. They still have got the same problem. But if you then move from the centers, I mean, the regional offices, what we call the provincial or regional offices, you can see there is a concerted effort to improve the infrastructure there. I mean, in terms of dignity and so on. If you go to Maritzburg offices, you'll see a bit of a difference from the previous welfare offices or pensions offices that were there. But we are not only looking at urban areas. My issue is that where there's most hardship is in rural areas. Hence, these mobile offices are being deployed in there. Then as we created the infrastructure, which is going to take a bit of time, at least people can be served in service in dignity. So these mobile offices will be deploying them in the month of May, 90 of them. It's not enough. Obviously, it's a costly business because we have purchased this over almost 100 million. And now we need to roll over because there isn't limitless budget. As the budget allows, as we get more resources, we'll ensure that all the rural areas are covered by these mobile offices. And the chairperson did see those mobile offices. They are very beautiful offices. And I'm saying our people deserve to go into those beautiful offices, not in areas where they can get have cold, heat, and so on. They've got all the air conditioners and infrastructure. In fact, they are very good live offices. As you connect them, they've got a satellite technology which make sure that in the remote rural areas, you press a button, those people can go and be approved on the same time they finish getting out of the system. Because you don't want those people being delayed in terms of information, when will I get my grant being paid and so on. So we take the doctors, we take home affairs, we want to ensure that all the, as we get to those offices, a lot of these associated services, people can look at the clients and attend to that person as fast as possible in that area, because it becomes difficult to go to and fro and people being moved from pillar to post without getting the service they need. Let me just ask my colleagues if you could take issues, if you've got data, and let you provide on terms of Sibanyoni, in terms of fraud in the system and all the fraudulent related activities. How do you deal with the issues of regional offices and branches and so on, and hopefully we can also, I think Luvuyo, you were there to talk about the issue of Harampua offices as well. Okay, let me just say the issue which was raised relates to the service provider in Limpopo province. I must say, I mean, where we are operating is that we are operating with a contract that was ceded to the agency. But if there is a prior issue, my sense is that the issues were resolved. But if there is a prior issue, maybe I can look at that and provide some information. But as of now, I mean, we are operating on the contract that is transferred to us, and those contracts are valid contracts that have been ceded to ourselves. But I can ask the colleagues if there are issues there, and then we can provide. I don't have the factual recall in terms of those issues. The another issue which is important, maybe Dr. Teplas could remark upon it, the question of dignity. Our sense that is in terms of people coming 4 a.m. and so on. And I'm sure if those who have been to, I mean, I've visited a few pay points and to look at this issue, what you put up is a system that, a queue management system. When you get your payment, you get told when are you going to come back and what are your relative time where which you need to be at the pay point. In certain pay points, it's moving quite well, but I'm sure, like, the establishment process, it might not have been rolled into all the pay points and having an optimal level. We do have help desks, which are our officials at pay points, and we insist in terms of that to management, because it ensures that, I mean, you can deal with vulnerable groups first, and you can give them the time they're likely to get, because we know who are the people who are going to be paid in a particular pay point. It has eliminated to another extent where it's appropriately implemented an issue of people getting worried that they won't get their money, because that was an issue, because there was no certainty whether the banks will finish their money, and which used to happen, and people need to come back. That's why people had to come back to be the first on the queue. But my sense is that, I mean, also with that is not a major issue. It might still be there. I'm not saying it cannot be there. But it's an issue that at least we are aware now, and we are managing it better. Okay. There are a host of questions, but let me give to my colleagues to answer the partnership questions and so on. Maybe let me start with you, Dr. Tablanche.
Chairperson, honorable members, I'd like to respond to a few speeches. The one member asked about the one-day turnaround time project in rural areas. And indicated that we're implementing that primarily at offices and in urban areas. And in terms of the solutions, it's really linked to a whole GIS mapping that was done with INSASA, indicating where offices and where pay points must be located. And what we're working on at the moment is to find solutions that would include, for instance, the mobile unit referred to by the CEO, but also the use of technology such as 3G cards that we're piloting at the moment, where people would be able to work at the service point on the laptop and be linked to the shopping system immediately. And then we're also looking at a whole model where within the regions we want to decentralize our offices, have more smaller offices available all over the region so that people will be able to access this. But we obviously see this as part of a rollout plan that will run concurrently with the intake period. Also in terms of the new payout model, whilst we're focusing so much on the pay points at the moment, we're also saying that the new payout solution must eventually reduce the number of people that want to receive their money at cash pay points. So we're looking at banks, but we're also looking at other points of disbursement where people would be able in the future, in terms of where we want to go, use technology that will allow them the ability to draw their money, for instance, at shops or at other vendors. And so we're looking at other options that will reduce the pressure on pay points eventually, whilst we also need to upgrade pay points and improve the conditions at the pay points. And I think in terms of the pay point situation, we've got a dashboard available. And I think there's something like 17 criteria that we're measuring every pay point against, indicating where we stand with that pay point in terms of all that criteria. And I think that's the status report that we can provide after this meeting. Maybe just on the issue of the branches and the regional offices that the issue that the chairperson raised. We have in SASA a number of branches, for instance, the branch responsible for finance or for corporate services. For ICT, so it's different streams responsible for different priorities and areas of work on a national level. And then we have the regional offices, the 9 regional offices, one for each of the regions in the country and currently linked to provincial boundaries. There was also a question around the issue of temporary disability grants and the high growth that we have at the moment. I think it's very true to say that we're still grappling to understand what the ultimate take-up rate will be for the different grant types, and especially for disability grants, and whether 2% of the population or 3% of the population in terms of a norm should be able to qualify for these grants. So in the past, we didn't have the take-up rate in terms of disability grants, and up to the level that we should probably reach as the saturation point. And that's one reason, I think, why we see the high growth. But it's also linked to poverty. And people will use this as a mechanism to access some funds from government, and this would be a part of that tool that they will use to access disability grants. Then I just wanted to comment on the issue of the 2-day turnaround project. I think we've also extended the Eastern Cape pilot, and my colleagues will probably indicate where in the Eastern Cape they piloted this. We also piloted this, for example, in the Western Cape at 8 of our 16 offices, but it's still office bound and it's not linked to all our service points, and we've got more than 200 service points testing in the Western Cape. So it's something that we're testing and piloting and will roll out, and we think will play an important role to enhance service delivery. CEO, maybe just on the issue of dignity, change management processes within SASSA and investing in the skills development of our staff. The CEO alluded to that we're busy with that program, and we believe it's an ongoing initiative that will improve service delivery and will facilitate a process where we will treat our customers with dignity and respect. And we're really focusing on that as part of our change management processes, both at our offices and also at our pay points, and also as part of our future tenders for pay outcome practice as to how we want them to treat our beneficiaries and how we monitor that from our side, and we're building that capacity at the moment.
Follow up response. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member. I've been advised by my chief here that maybe we should provide a written response around the fraud cases, because there's a lot of statistics, but just to say that some of those officials are still working for different departments, though none of them work for SASSA or the Department of Social Development nationally. But they are still. But we will provide a written response to this.
I think it's an issue for the comments to note. This is the fraudulent cases are not committed from social development. This, when we talk about office, we're talking about government-wide intervention. And the issue is that we are not dealing with those individuals ourselves, but they're dealt with by their own departments. And of course, we need to monitor what is going on, but the issue is not our responsibility. We are electing government, and the law enforcement agents must really look at their own responsibility, and the nine departments also look at their own responsibility.
For instance, a person from health department claiming a child support grant from social development. Now health department has to deal with that person after the other thing. No, thank you very much. Okay. Yes?
Yeah. Just if I can, my apology, I tried to follow the list. If I can just respond to the issue on foster care and who's responsible for what.
Yeah.
The process to go to the children's court to recommend to the Justice Department that the children be placed in foster care is a responsibility of the Social Development Department. So they conclude that whole process. Once a child would be placed in foster care, that court order would come to SASSA as part of an application for a foster care grant. And all SASSA will do is to process that application if it would meet the means test, because there's also a means test applicable in terms of that. So there's a relationship between social development and justice in terms of the processing of these applications to place children in foster care, and it's not a direct relationship between SASSA and justice. So I just wanted to clarify that. I know that last year when I still worked for social development, we had a special campaign all over the country in all the provinces to work with justice to process applications and to make sure that there's more courts available and more court time available to deal with this. And I'm sure that we can also provide, maybe from social development side, if I can,